What a miracle. The Bible says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Look at Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. I'm going to preach here in a minute. Isaiah 53. We'll read verse number 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Matthew said himself bare our infirmities, and he bare our sicknesses. Jesus was not made sick for us. He was made sin for us. Sickness came as a result of sin. Thorns and thistles, curse on the ground as a result of sin. These problems that we face, the despair, the disaster, the catastrophes that we live in, it is a sin-cursed world, and sin is all around us. Jesus wasn't just made sickness for us. Jesus was made sin for us. And as he was made sin for us, by his stripes we are healed and we have salvation. My wife has multiple sclerosis. She didn't come with me here tonight because she went to hear my son preach. She'd rather hear him. She'd rather support him. To be honest with you, I'd like to be hearing him too right now. I'm excited about hearing him as I travel back home. But I got to thinking, we went to have, about 2 weeks ago, an infusion. She has to have one every 6 months for multiple sclerosis. The doctors tell us she's never going to get better. Hopefully it'll be a preventative to keep her from getting worse. I remember when she was first diagnosed with this disease. I was defeated. I was crushed. I'd been praying, God, take it from her. Don't let her have anything wrong. Show your power. Show your authority one more time. And the doctor came out and said, I have bad news. And began to share with us his diagnosis. And the devil jumped on my shoulder and said, you can't pray. Where's your God at now? What kind of pastor are you? You might as well give it up and give in. And I started listening to what that egg-sucking dog had to say. We came down the hallway. We walked out of the car. I usually try to open the car door for her. I opened the car door, and she started to get in, and I stopped her. I said, honey, she had a tear. She wasn't a bit upset. I said, honey, what does this mean? She put her finger up in my face, and she said, I'll tell you what this means, that God has chosen me to bear this for his glory. Most gladly will I therefore glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And she sat down. And I shut the door. And I thought, well, how do you like that, preacher? There you go. She's got scripture for it. I went and sat down in the car. We had borrowed, many years ago, we had borrowed somebody's GPS. I couldn't afford one, to figure out what hospital, how to get where we were going. And I think it was called a TomTom back in the day. I don't know if they still have them or not. And I went in to punch that thing to get us out of where we were. And it started frying and sizzling and smoke coming out of it. And I got so scared with what was happening. It was having a nuclear meltdown. I borrowed it from somebody. I rolled down the window and throwed it out in the parking lot. It bounced and bounced and burst apart. I said, Lord, what in the world? God said, quit trusting things that you see and trust me for the unknown. I am the way. I care for you. I care for her. I've got this. Trust me with it. It is for my glory. I had to go back to my friend and explain what happened to the TomTom, and I paid him for it as well. And I want you to know that tonight, my wife still, every 6 months, has to take these treatments that last from 8 o'clock in the morning until 5 o'clock, and they completely wipe her out. They're very exhausted. And 2 weeks ago, we went there to have the treatment. And I thought, Lord, as we went to that hospital, if you were with me right now, and you are, but if you were physically standing here, you'd just say to this multiple sclerosis, be gone. You'd lay your hand on her. With your word, you would rebuke it, and it would be gone. And then not only would you do that for her, but you do that for him and the next room and the next room and the ones across the hall, and he would have cleared that entire hospital out. Can you just see it? As she started getting the IV and the preparations, I started researching. I sat there and I started looking up how many hospitals there are in the United States. There are over 5,000 hospitals in the United States. The U.S. News and World Report gave me an hospital honor roll for 2021 through 2022. Did you know that the number one hospital is the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota? Did you know that number two is Cleveland Clinic? Number three is UCLA Medical. Number four is Johns Hopkins in Baltimore. Number five is Mass General up in Boston. All the way down the line, number 20 is Vanderbilt. Today, I want us to visit another hospital. When I look in this text of verses 16 and 17 of Matthew 8, when I look in Luke chapter number 4, I see it as the Mercy Hospital. It is a hospital for those that are incurable, for those that have no one to care for them, for those that have exhausted every resource and said, incurable, and just passed them on. I look back through the roll call of U.S. News and World Report, and I did not see the Mercy Hospital that I'm talking about tonight. Yet every patient that's ever entered the Mercy Hospital has been miraculously cured. Every one of these hospitals received one or two points based on their 15 specialties. None of the top 20 hospitals had a perfect score. Every one had deficiencies. But the Mercy Hospital is perfect. There's no deficiency in the Mercy Hospital. Every case, every condition has been cured and treated in this hospital. In fact, this hospital that I'm talking about, it specializes in curing those that no one else can help. I started looking. All these hospitals had hundreds and hundreds of doctors on staff, but the one I'm talking about only has one doctor on staff. He's the only one on call. He's the only one online, and he's the only one that's needed. He is a specialist in every field. He's never met a case. He's never met a condition. He's never met a crisis. He's never met a catastrophe that he could not handle. And this doctor is known around the world as the great physician. Do you know him? May I introduce him to you tonight? His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. I begin to think as I sat there, number one, who are the patients that are admitted to the Mercy Hospital? It seems as if everyone that comes there is incurable. I flipped the page and looked in Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. I saw the debilitated. The Bible said there was a man sick of the palsy. He was laying on a bed, born a four. They got him to Jesus. He was crippled. He could not move. He was paralyzed. He was brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he got there, Jesus said to him, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." And everybody there went, "What? This is crazy. Who has the authority and the ability to say thy sins be forgiven thee?" Verse 6 said, Jesus said, "That you may know that the Son of Man hath power on the earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed and go unto thy house." And the Bible said, he arose and he departed to his house. Who goes to the Mercy Hospital? Thank God, the debilitated. Have you ever had spiritual paralysis where you were so handicapped, honey, you couldn't get to him, but he came to you? I remember I'm about to climb the pulpit. I remember July 13th, 1978 at the Balfour Baptist Church. I was in such a state, in such a condition. I didn't know what on earth I was going to do. I was about to have a heart attack spiritually. I was lost on my way to hell. The man of God had given the invitation. Nobody had gone. Frustrated for him, I'm sure. He called on the pastor, started out of the pulpit, and the pastor got up to dismiss, and the man of God stopped and turned around and said, there's a lad here, and son, this is your last chance. I looked at my daddy and said, I got to go. Out of there, I bolted down that aisleway between the front rows. My knees buckled underneath me. The altar was still empty. I couldn't crawl. I couldn't move. I was just paralyzed there. I could not go any further under the weight, under the guilt of my sin. My dad came down behind me, put his hand on my back. He said, son, what is it? I think he knew. I said, Dad, I'm lost. Dad, I'm going to hell. And Dad, I need to be saved. But I didn't make it. He said, you didn't make it. Thought you had to be an altar. Thought you had to be down on your knees in the altar. Dad said, what? I said, Dad, I didn't make it. He said, I got good news, son. He's come to you. Hey, man. Woo, I could run. When I could not get to him, he came to me. And I'm telling you tonight, somebody here, you may feel like you've got locked up, chained up, got spiritual paralysis. You can't move, go any further where you are. Honey, I have good news for you tonight. He knows where you are. He'll come to you, minister to you. He'll heal you, help you, raise you up. Honey, he's still in the lifting business. Who goes to the Mercy Hospital? The debilitated. Look at your word. I'm going to preach the whole chapter. And you're right, I am. When you look in verses 9 through verse 17, you see the depraved. The depraved. There's a man. His name is Matthew chapter 9. There's a man. He's depraved. His name is Matthew. He's sitting at the receipt of custom. He is a man that's a tax collector. He has been extorting taxes from his people. He cheated people. He's despised by his home people. He's giving the money over to Rome, who's oppressing them and afflicting them. And they look at Matthew as a traitor. He's considered vile. He's considered corrupt. He's lower than an unclean animal. He's lower than the swine. He's considered the worst of all sinners. And yet, here is a man that is completely depraved. Jesus walks up to him and says, follow me. Hey, man. And the Bible says that Matthew got up and left behind that receipt of custom a very wealthy business. He just began to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. What happened? He was depraved. No way he could ever go to heaven. No way he could ever be treated like everybody else. No way he would be socially accepted. But when he checked himself in the Mercy Hospital, Jesus made house calls, and he came by and he called him and he cured him and he raised him up. Who else goes to the Mercy Hospital? Look in verses 18 and 19. The dying. Here's a man by the name of Jairus. Jairus has a little girl. She's 12 years of age. Jairus, who's the ruler of the synagogue, hears about Jesus, goes down to where Jesus is preaching and where Jesus is teaching. And finally he says, Jesus, will you come to my house? I have a little girl at home that's dying. Jesus said, yes, I'll go. Praise God. The dying is not too hard for me. I'm able to cure the incurable. I can cure the debilitated. I can cure the depraved. And the dying is not too hard for me. And Jairus gets him by the hand and starts dragging him along. But about that time, here comes a woman. We'll call her the diseased. She's coming to the Mercy Hospital. She's had an issue of blood for 12 long years. Hemorrhaging, unclean, not allowed to go in the house of God. And there she is. As Jesus passes by, the Bible says she reached down and touched the hem of him. And when she touched him, she was immediately made whole. The Bible says, Jesus' words, he said, who touched me? Simon Peter said, Master, you ask who touched me. And the multitudes trying to throng and touch you, and you want to know who touched me. He said, someone touched me. For I perceive that virtue hath gone out of me. Somebody has touched me by faith. And he looked and he saw that woman. And when she saw that she could not be hidden, she began to confess all about her condition. She began to confess all about her faith. She began to confess all what he had done for her when she touched him. Now, he's able to cure the diseased in the Mercy Hospital. About that time, a runner comes up and says, Jairus, your daughter's dead. Trouble not the master any further. It looks like he's waited too late. It looks like things are over. Now what on earth are we going to do? Jairus lowers his head and says, if it had not been for that woman. Oh, I know she got healing. I know she needed help. But had it not been for her, Jesus would have already been at my house. Jesus would have already laid his hand on my daughter. But she interrupted. Can I take time out to say, I believe that the Lord used this whole event to set the devil up. The devil thought he was going to defeat Jairus. He thought he was going to defeat that woman too. And Jesus has healed that woman. He looked at her and said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Jairus should have been listening, paying attention. His daughter's how old? 12. That woman's had the issue of blood how long? 12. Jesus called that woman what? Daughter. That's a family name. I've got one daughter. I call her daughter very many times. It means family. We're family. When Jesus called her daughter, he said, welcome to the family. Amen. Jairus should have heard that. Now she's dead. Now it's too late. What on earth are we going to do? He takes now Jairus by the hand and he says, listen, she's not dead, but sleeping. And now he is leading Jairus to Jairus' house. I have a question for you. In your situation, who is leading who? You're all the time, come on, Jesus, I need you to help me now. Do this now. Bless me now. Send me favor now. Give me mercy. Give me the... Who's leading who? Are you leading him or is he leading you? You see, this whole situation at Jairus' house was a setup. Now, I was down at the hospital and I was paying close attention. When our doctor came in the room, I didn't feel any need to get on my knees and touch the hem of his trousers. As he walked down the hall, listen, I opened the door and I watched. As he walked down the hall, nobody came out of any room and said, oh, I got to touch the hem of that guy. Nobody touched the hem of our doctor. But everybody needs to touch the hem of the great physician. And I'm telling you tonight, where two or three are gathered in his name, he said, there am I in the midst. He is here. You can touch him. You'll never be the same. It's one thing for him to touch. Listen, it's one thing for him to lay his hand upon you and touch you. But it's quite another thing for you to touch him. I also paid attention there at the hospital. I heard him calling code blue. Asked one of the nurses. I said, what happened? She said, I think somebody's dying. Then a little bit later, she came back. I said, I prayed. What happened? She said, I think they went on to heaven, sir. She was a believer. And I thought, what about that? Guess what? That doctor, when they pulled the sheet up over that little lady's face, that doctor was signing a death certificate. That's the end of it. That's all he could do. But my physician, the great physician, he is able to lift her from this veil of tears and transcend time into eternity and escort her into the very portals of all glory. I'm telling you, my great physician, he doesn't stop like a normal physician does. He can go and go and goes beyond the deathbed. Who's in the Mercy Hospital? The debilitated, the depraved, the dying, the diseased, the dead. Well, what about this? Later on in the chapter, in verses 27 through 31, there are two men destitute of sight. What does Jesus do? He heals them of their blindness. There are some men later on in the chapter, there's a man, he's got demons inside him. What does Jesus do? He casts the demons out. The demonized. Nothing's too hard for him. And may I say to you tonight, you may say, Preacher Darren, I do believe in demon possession. We see it, I think, some of these shootings and things that goes on. I believe there's demons behind it. And yet there's a real struggle around you because you're not possessed by the devil. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But you're being oppressed by the devil. He's trying to control your thought life. He's trying to get you to drift off now while I'm up here trying to preach. Get you worried, get you concerned, get you thinking about something else. He's worrying you absolutely to death. I'm talking about the devil trying to oppress you. Jesus at the Mercy Hospital, he can cast demons out of those that are possessed and he can hinder the work of the devil who's trying to oppose you and oppress you right now. May I say number two, I looked up the physicians that are available at the hospital. And as I looked up on Google, you can look it up. There's a website called www.castleconnolly.com. It lists America's top doctors. There's more than 4,000 specialists categorized by specialty and some specialty. And these doctors are chosen after a rigorous review of a physician-led research team. And I went all through that list. I looked through almost 4,000 names, and I never found the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, listed on that website. They said I could get a book and have it sent to my house so I could have better access to it. And I thought, I don't need their book. I've got the book. In fact, Jesus is not on that list of America's top doctors because he's in a class all by himself. I've got the only book I'll ever need to tell me about the great physician at the Mercy Hospital. He'll take any patient. The Bible says, I read it in Matthew chapter 8, and I read it in Luke chapter 4, they brought unto him all that were sick. They brought him all these people. And he says, whosoever will, let him come. He says, for them that come to me, I will not cast them out. And guess what? He heals every single one of them. In 1851, there was a doctor by the name of Elizabeth Blackwell. She is the first woman doctor in America. When she began her practice, nobody would come to see her in 1851. And do you know why? She's a woman. You may say, you're getting ready to preach women's lib, Preacher Darren. What are you doing? Nobody would see her in 1851. So she put a sign up that said, we'll treat you for free. Still, nobody came. Until one day, the door was thrown open and a lady doubled over in pain, stumbled in, and fell into the doctor's arms. She diagnosed it. She knew what she needed to do to treat her. And over the course of a surgery and a little bit of time, the young lady was healed. And guess what? When that young lady walked out of the hospital, this is what she said. She said, I was in such pain, I didn't care who it was. I was in such pain, I just needed somebody that would help me. I was in such pain, I just needed someone that would send me relief. And this kind lady, God used her in my life to work a miracle. And she began to tell everybody in New York. And guess what? That clinic took off and became one of New York's finest clinics. Let me say, we need to go out and tell the lost and dying world about the Mercy Hospital, that God has rescued us and saved us. When we went there, he took us on as a patient, and there's nothing too hard for him. When we got to the hospital that day, help me, Lord. When we got to the hospital that day, you know how it is. You come in, you check yourself in, and you wait. And then they call your name, and you go to another waiting room. And then they call your name, and we went to another. We waited to wait again and to wait one more time before they ever got started. And one of the first ones they took us to was insurance. Say amen. I thought, oh boy, here we go. I went in for insurance. And I said, Lord, at the Mercy Hospital, do you have to have insurance? He said, no, but I'll give you assurance. That run all over me. He can treat any problem. There's nothing, I don't care what you have, that's too hard for him. I just want to give you some conditions that the Lord cured that no man could. He healed blindness. He healed leprosy, palsy, withered hands, fevers that were uncontrollable, lameness, paralysis, deafness, and deadness. Amen. May I say this? Miss Gina, with this treatment, they came in and they said, you're going to have this and this and this, and this medication and this side effect, and it has this side effect, and this one has this issue. And I thought, Lord, the medicine you treat us with, does it have side effects? He said, it does. Oh boy, what side effects comes from the Mercy Hospital with Jesus? He said, well, there's joy, peace, that passeth all understanding. Contentment, a clean heart, a pure conscience, eternal life. I think I can live with the side effects. Number three, the problems that are addressed. Well, we've mentioned them. There's nothing too hard for him. And in every one of those conditions, I could look to spiritual problems. I'll leave that alone for now, and I'll close and say this. I looked up a book by Dr. Rolfe. It's an autobiography. It's entitled Good Morning, Doctor. Chapter 34 had a very interesting title for me, The Great Physician. I thought, I'm not going to read chapter 1, 2, or 3. I want to read chapter 34. And Dr. Rolfe began to tell about a lady that he would go see, elderly lady, very sickly. He would work all day treating people. And when he got off from the clinic, he would walk by her house, no matter how late, no matter how tired he was, to give her hypodermics to try to help her to rest. And after a few months of that, one evening he walked in and that lady laid her long, pale fingers on his arm and said, Dr. Rolfe, I need you to sit down. And he did. She said, Dr. Rolfe, I need you to understand something. I've watched you. You come here late in the evenings. You've worked all day. You're tired. You just want to show me that you care. You want me to rest. I'm probably the last patient you see. And Dr. Rolfe, I want you to know how much I appreciate what you've done for me. But I would be amiss if I didn't tell you about Jesus. She said, Dr. Rolfe, there's coming a day that you can't treat me any further. There's coming a day that I'll be leaving this world. That may happen tonight, Dr. Rolfe. And if I do, just know that you've turned my case over to the great physician. And when they pull the sheet up over my face, I'll still live on in glory because of Jesus. And Dr. Rolfe, I want you to meet Jesus. Dr. Rolfe couldn't say a word. She began to weep and pray over him. When she finished, he gave her the shot, weeping, and just walked away, trying to decide, under conviction, trying to figure out, what does this woman have that most of my other patients don't have? Jesus. Mercy Hospital. Great physician. He said the next morning I got to the clinic and I was called that dear saint of God had passed on. I was called to her residence. I left the clinic and I went to her house. And when I walked into such peace that I had never felt before. And he said, this is what came to me. Tread softly now, doctor, as you enter now. Someone has been here that is greater than thou. And he said, I knew when I signed that death certificate that she was not really dead. This was just a body. That she lives on in a place called glory. And I'll have you to know, he called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and he was gloriously born again. Now I want to just for a second talk about you. I mean, that's probably the most important thing tonight for you is you. How are you doing? If I ask you tonight, what calamities, what catastrophes, what casualties, what problems do you face this week? Well, what is, I want to ask you something. What's your biggest worry this week? What is it you're stressing about? Mama, you worried about your girl. She's going to college. She's going to middle school. You worried about that one that can't pay the bills. And what's going on in the home and the fighting and the fussing. You said, Preacher Darren, I read all these biblical things, but we have real world problems and socioeconomic change and gas prices that go up or down or sideways. We don't know. Preacher dear, what am I going to do? Can I tell you something? The best thing you'll ever do for your worry, for your sickness, for your issue, is go to the Mercy Hospital. For Gina's MS, people tell me all the time, you need to see Dr. So-and-so. He's just the best. You need to go see this. You need to go, Preacher Darren, you need to try this. You need to try this medication. You need to go to this hospital. I get it all the time. Let me make some recommendations for you. You need to see Dr. Jesus. He loves all the time. He's never met a patient he couldn't cure. He's never had anybody say that he didn't care about him. He's never got a bad review. He's 100% on time, and he's 100% professional with everything that he does. And whatever tonight, Daddy, I don't know, sir, what you're so worried about, but whatever it is, Jesus has got this. The other night at our church, one of my men called me and said, Preacher Darren, I'm needing to go to the hospital. I've got sickness. I've got heart palpitations, blood pressure issues. I need to get myself checked in the hospital. You know what he did? He went to the hospital and he admitted he had a sickness. He admitted he had a problem and they put him in the ER. He stayed there for hour after hour after hour. They diagnosed, got him to a room. They did a heart cath. All these things on him may have spared his life because he recognized he needed help. And here we are, this great congregation at Fletcher First Baptist Church. And your week, your month, your life will go so much better if you'd recognize your issue and just bring them to the great physician. There's no case too big for him, and there's no case too small for him. He will cure all. You stand here. Someone, if you'd come play on the piano, I wonder tonight, is there somebody here? Maybe you have a loved one. Maybe you have a need yourself. Maybe you have a child. Maybe you have a grandchild. You would go with them to the... You need to come right now, and you need to get on your knees in this altar and say, God, will you take me as a patient at the Mercy Hospital? Lord, I'm so worried and so burdened. I'm about to go out of my mind. God, I don't know what I'm going to do. Not only do I have physical issues, Lord, that I cannot fix and no doctor can fix, but God, there are needs around me, financial needs, emotional needs. Lord, I have security needs, and God, I can't meet them. Would you come tonight and say, Lord, would you touch me? That's just the message I needed to hear. God, you spoke to me tonight, and he wants to help you. Who is? Listen, he's not done. He's still inviting you. He's still wooing you. There's some others you need to come. God dealing with hearts right now. Would you come? Would you come? We're going to pray together. Would you come? Anybody? That's right. Keep coming. Mind the Lord. Mind him, Preacher Darren. I have a need. Oh, honey, he'll take that right now if you'll give it to him. Give him your home. Give him your marriage. Give it to the need. Give it to him. Anybody else, you need to come right now. If you go home and you deal with this further, it's your own fault. Because tonight he passed by and he was willing to take your case. He was willing to solve your issue. But you wouldn't humble yourself. Tonight, God's looking for somebody that's willing to say, oh, God, here I come. Here I come. I'm worried about my future. What am I going to do, Lord? Anybody else? Father, I praise you and I honor you. And tonight, you're the great physician that's on duty at Mercy Hospital. And Lord, I pray that you'll take this need tonight. Father, this worry, this sickness, this sorrow, this broken heart, God, this pain, this ache, God, that we feel. God, would you give us peace? God, would you give us joy? God, would you clear this matter up? Lord, I pray that you'd change it. But most of all, God, I pray that you'd do something in me. You'd change me. You'd help me. You'd touch me, Lord. God, tonight, I'm a candidate for the peace and the joy and the pardon and the favor and the blessing that flows from the Mercy Hospital. God, tonight I bow on my knee
And Lord, I've got friends and loved ones now that are with me in this altar. And God, we're joined together. God, would you heal them? Lord, these are my loved ones, God. You're our God. You're our Savior. You gave your life for them. God, would you work out their future? God, would you bless their marriage? God, would you bless their children? God, would you help them in the home? God, would you bless their finances? God, would you touch them and help them in the middle of a crooked and perverse generation, in the middle of violence, in the middle of all kinds of problems going on around us? God, would you relieve? God, would you remedy? God, would you take the balm of Gilead that's on the other side of the river and transcend time and lay your hand upon your servant and anoint them, Father, and speak a word over them and rebuke the foul spirits that oppress us, God. I pray tonight, God, for clarity, for help, for relief, for healing, for restoration, and for remedy. And God, I know you'll do it because we are in the Mercy Hospital with Jesus as our great physician. We need not look or depend or trust on any other. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.